This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hello, you're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine. I'm David Hunt, and my next guest is, well, what an extraordinary man and voice. I'm talking about Max Riebel, who has been on Sunday Arts now probably three or four times. He is a countertenor opera singer, cabaret performer, you name it, award winner around the world. Max, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
My pleasure, absolute pleasure. Now, Max, for those who don't know you, what is a countertenor opera singer?
Well, basically, I sing in a very high falsetto tone. I use my head voice, and there's not many of us around. There's about sort of a dozen famous ones in the world, and we mainly sing Baroque music, music from about 300 years ago, but every so often we venture into more, you know, adventurous rep and do a bit of cabaret and a bit of pop and a bit of crossover. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Max, when did you realize you had that voice?
I suppose when I was about 17 years old, I was, I'd had a long stint as a boy soprano singing in lots of different choirs, and I tried out tenor and baritone, and then I thought, oh, I'll give falsetto a go again, and I joined the altos, and the voice really worked in that range, and I suppose it just came really naturally because I'd worked on the technique for about 5 or 6 years before my voice broke, so yeah.
And how hard was it, you know, like keeping up? I suppose that's the training of an opera singer, all that work that you do on a daily basis. You know, like, was it difficult to maintain that voice?
Not really. I suppose it's one of those things, you've either got it or you don't really have it. And it was sort of there naturally. And I suppose getting the really intricate parts of the technique right was hard, you know, and practicing every day with a metronome and making sure I could sing super fast runs and sing Vivaldi and Handel and all the different styles and working on languages and all those things that every opera singer has to do, but the voice itself was sort of there.
And you've taken it to the giddy heights. You know, like, tell us, what's it like, you know, like traveling the world? You don't do it quite as much now, but traveling the world, singing in some of the famous buildings in the world, like Royal Albert Hall and the Vienna Concert House. You know, like, you must pinch yourself and think, really? I've done all of that?
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary when you've been on one of those stages and you get off the stage and you sort of don't quite believe you were there. I sort of had that when I first performed, I think, with my brother in the Prince of Wales and then in the Forum when I was about, you know, 11 or 12 years old. And I remember I just didn't actually believe I'd done it until a few days later. And yeah. That sort of stuck with me when I've done those bigger shows. And it's an extraordinary feeling. And it's particularly amazing, you know, when you get that super high energy from the audience and you just, you know, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you can still hear the applause and things. It's, yeah.
Oh, wow. That would be... That's your reward, isn't it? It really would be, because of all the hard work that you put in.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why none of us can get to sleep until about 4 a.m, you know, after those experiences.
Yeah. Now, to prove you, well, not to prove yourself, but in a way it is proving yourself, you have actually had to travel the world and enter a lot of the competitions to really establish your name in the world of opera. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of comps because, you know, when you're 20 or 21, it's pretty hard to, you know, go straight up to the head of a big opera company overseas and just say, hey, you know, listen to me and I can do all this stuff. So you do have to prove yourself and cut your teeth. And I did that on the international competition circuit. And that was an interesting experience and pretty great one in some ways. But, you know, you're living in a suitcase and you're always on the road and in aeroplanes and things. And, yeah, it's... sort of like a bit of a blur now, but that took up about 5 or 6 years of the career, and now I'm sort of a little steadier back here.
Will you travel again? Are you going to, you know, like do this world circuit? Because you have been back here for a while, and you are married. You've got a child as well now. Is that right?
Yeah, I've got two kids, so
oh, wow.
I'm pretty busy.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I had a, you know, obviously we're all stuck at home at the moment, but I did have a real takeoff year this year and had so many different festivals and concerts booked. So the actual concert circuit that I worked really hard to build up here is actually looking good, provided we all survive.
Yep.
So, you know, I very much like being here. And I think, you know, if the orchestras continue to work really hard to privatize and to get private sponsorship and find different ways of surviving in the difficult environment, then there could be some bright futures ahead. But, you know, we'll see.
Now, you performed at the Adelaide Festival of Arts this year.
Yes, yeah. I did something with the Song Company there, and we would perform with the Talis Scholars and some of the Norwegian choral soloists and just some incredible groups. And that was an incredible experience. That whole festival is so well organized.
Isn't it? Yeah. And it's such a major festival around the world.
It is. I mean, I was just amazed at the energy there and the amount of visitors from overseas and the caliber of the artists. And yeah, I was blown away. In fact, Adelaide has just been so impressive every time I've gone there, you know, just, you know, I guess people just really embrace the festival culture there. So, you know, you might not get the steadiest constant flow of concerts, but they really do festivals well.
Well, I've been on an aeroplane at times flying to Adelaide for the Adelaide Arts Festival, and 90% of the plane are people that I knew and people going over for the festival. A huge percentage of Melbourne people do go to Adelaide for the Arts Festival, and the, you know, the newspapers here review a lot of the shows for the Adelaide Arts Festival.
Yeah, that's one of the great things, is the media coverage is just phenomenal. And they also couple that, I guess, with their unparalleled food and wine culture. And they've just got a great bag of gifts, you know, in that state that really makes for an exciting sort of environment to perform in.
Now, you've been a little bit vocal about what's going on with the arts and a lot of funding cuts and, as you were saying, your privatisation of a lot, maybe the orchestras. Yeah, give us your slant on it.
Oh, look, I think, you know, since I was coming into the scene, we had a transition into Liberal government, and that government just seems to have slowly but surely decimated things, and they seem to take quite opportune moments to do that. And it's very sad to see the second tier downwards being, you know, really neglected and not given the funding that they need. And I think we all know, anyone who's in the entertainment industry and even outside of the entertainment industry, just know how much that we give back, you know, and how hard we work and how extraordinarily well we do, not only for our audiences but for the economy. How much vibrancy we sort of give to the nation, and it's sad to see that that's not respected. And I really hope that after this great upheaval, things change. Yeah, we can hope, and we can just do our absolute best to get.
You're on Joy 94.9. I'm chatting with Max Rebell, who is an opera singer, a counter tenor. Now you're doing like so many other people within the arts. You're making a lot of your music available online.
Yes, yeah. I think some people are doing the live performances and getting their cameras going and doing things from home. But you know, I've got the kids running around the house, and so I've done a couple of them. I think I've done an Easter Sunday service that a friend asked me to do the other day. But basically, I've just gone through my archives and I've found about 100 different old tracks and things, and some of them are better than others, but I'm sharing the good ones and trying to keep, you know, spirits up, I suppose.
Yeah, and because have you lost performances because of what's happening?
Yeah, I've lost an entire year of income. So luckily, you know, we teach a bit on the side, so I'm doing Zoom teaching and things like that. But it's
okay.
But the performances are gone, but most of the groups have said that they'll rebook and reschedule. So 2021 should be back on the road.
And because also with your world, you're often booked up a couple of years in advance.
Yeah, I was booked till early 2021, which is sort of 12 months in Australia. It's about as far as a freelancer gets. But it was an extraordinary year lined up. You know, it was just working with the best, you know, and going back to your question earlier about funding and things, just that second tier, you know, you've got Pinchgut Opera and you've got the, you know, Adelaide Baroque Orchestra and all these, you know, smaller units of extraordinary musicians. And I'm sure it's the same in the theatre world and other worlds, but they are just so exciting to work with. Yeah, I do. I really hope that they pull through.
Max, tell us about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago now, time flies, it might even be longer, you really put your toe in the water with cabaret.
Yeah, I did. I did all those cabaret festivals and fringe festivals. And that was, I made, you know, several recordings of it as well. I think ever since then, I haven't really done a solo recital without including some kind of cabaret or contemporary piece. And it's really, I guess, given a bit of an edge to what I do.
Well, I really take my hat off to you, and I saw you on a couple of occasions. People were just blown away in the cabaret world to hear your voice. They, you know, because you don't look like the sort of person that would have that voice. You know, you're quite a burly, man's man, and here you are with this beautiful voice. Did you find that was the reaction you were getting?
Yeah, it was odd. You know, some people said they thought I should be playing rugby or that I looked like some kind of footballer or something, but it's one of those things. It sometimes chooses you, you know. The voice sort of chose me, and it was kind of this magical thing that happened. And I suppose, like a lot of musicians, I've got a lot of other things that, you know, I do, and I like to keep fit and play sports and do all those kind of things. So maybe the image doesn't go, but I think it's kind of a very interesting juxtaposition for people, and it sort of plays with concepts of masculinity and makes people think, you know, maybe you can be both, introspective and thoughtful and have emotions and also be a strong person, you know, because I guess artists are often, you know, artists are often called sensitive and, you know, fragile and things. And I just don't sort of see that. I think we're maybe complex because we feel more and we think more. But I think we're extraordinarily brave, strong individuals, and maybe that's shown through my physique as well, because, you know, we all have to overcome and live through such tumult all the time.
Max, we're going to play one of your tracks so people can hear your magnificent instrument, which is your voice. It's Ave Maria. Everyone knows the piece. Tell us, what's your impression? Who wrote it, and what's it all about to you?
Well, apparently Schubert wrote it, though some people have denied that.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that it could have been someone else from the time, but it's an extraordinary piece of music and a very familiar, nostalgic kind of melody. And I decided to pair it with a sort of ambient synth that runs underneath it and a very special guitar accompaniment by Ziggy Johnston, who I played a couple of cabaret shows with as well. But it's a bit of a different colour and vibe to the usual organ sort of sounds. But I think it carries the poignancy of the original.
Well, Max, all the best with the Easter hunt on Sunday morning. How old are your kids? Do they know what's going on yet?
Yeah. They know very well what's going on, but they are taking it very well. We're actually having a great time. So Ivy's 4 and Billy's 1, and it's going to be a giant Easter egg hunt in a very small space.
Brilliant. That sounds wonderful. Max Rebill, lovely chatting to you as always, and all the best for the...
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.